Hell, maybe I am shooting for the moon after all. But why not? Archer wasn't yet 30. After fighting in the Second World War, he'd spent time in prison for a crime of which he was essentially innocent, though the law hadn't recognized such nuance and stuck him behind bars anyway. However, he would have gladly pled guilty to a charge of gross stupidity. It had involved a woman, and Archer just seemed to lose all of his common sense when they were around. He was a little over 6'1", and his frame had been hardened first by the army and then by prison, where the strong didn't necessarily survive, but such an attribute certainly improved your chances. He had a serviceable brain, quick enough wits, and a work ethic deep enough to carve a good life somewhere given the chance. Archer was hoping to find that opportunity in a town on the water in California, where he was eager to start his new phase in life under the tutelage of a veteran private eye named Willie Dash. But first he had to get there. And these days, nothing was easy, particularly long-distance travel across a country that was so big it never seemed to end. He looked out of the bus's grimy window and eyed the street-spanning metal sign they were passing under. Reno, the biggest little city in the world. He had no idea what that meant, but it sounded intriguing. They pulled into the bus terminal, and he grabbed from the overhead rack his large brand-new leather satchel. He had on a 2-piece tan wool pinstripe suit with a patterned green single Windsor knotted tie, fronting a starched white shirt and topped by his crown-dented fedora with a brown band. Everything else he owned in the world was in the satchel. It wasn't much, but it was a lot more than he'd had when the prison doors had opened not that long ago. He got a recommendation on a place to stay the night from a gal behind the bus counter with blonde hair that wrapped around her neck like a naughty mink stole and mischievous blue eyes to match. She had a curvaceous figure that reminded him of the photo of a swimsuit-clad Ava Gardner he had kept in his helmet during the war. After telling her he was headed to California, she handed him a map, along with a recommendation for where to grab his dinner.
"My name's Ginger,"
she said with a broad smile.
"Maybe I'll see you around town later."
He doffed his hat to her, returned the smile, and trudged on, his grin fading to a grimace. He didn't care if she was Ginger Rogers. He was keeping his distance, naughty hair and eyes be damned.
"You look lost, soldier," said the voice.
Archer was outside the depot now, fully immersed in the delicious heat that seeped up from the pavement and gave him a hug. The speaker was a man in his late 60s, straight as a rake, thin as a lathe, with tumbleweed white hair and a fluffy mustache that dipped nearly to his chin. He had on a dark suit that needed a good sponging and a creased black hat with a soiled burgundy band. A silver watch chain spanned his dappled white vest, which covered a sunken chest and belly. Archer put his satchel down on the pavement, pulled a half-full pack of Lucky Strikes from his pocket, struck a match in the bottom of his shoe, and lit the end of the cigarette. He waved the spent match like a sparkler and tossed it down. The man looked so lustfully at his smoke that Archer slid one out and offered it to him. He accepted with gratitude on his features and used a dented chrome lighter to do the honors. They puffed for a bit, each squinting at the other through the spawned mingled fog of twin Luckies. "Just in town," replied Archer with a bit of a shiver as the sun began its descent after a hard day's labor and the heat shriveled down into the pavement like a receding flame. The man eyed both the satchel and the bus depot behind and nodded.
"Can see that.
And I'm not lost. Just going to my hotel."
"Didn't mean geographically. More metaphorically."
"You sound educated. Or are you just fortunate with how words spill out of your mouth?"
"Time fills your head up if you allow it. Some don't. They just put a lid on and end their life as they begin it, ignorant as babies."
He put out a shaky, thinly veined hand with dark spots here and there.
"I'm Robert Howells, but my friends and some of my enemies call me Bobby H. And you are?"
Archer shook his head but said, "Why do you want to know?"
"Just making small talk, son. Don't get jumpy on me."
"I go by Archer."
"Your first time in Reno?"
asked Howells. Archer puffed on his smoke and nodded slowly.